Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
No problem at that point.
Yeah, so that's how you get him to talk. Yeah.
I got so many things to ask you, Mark. Okay. Probably the most important one is actually was brought to mind. I understand what's going on, but I did read yesterday a post from our good friend, horticulturist and amazing plantsman, Alan Owings,
yes,
who said that there at where he works, you know, and lives around Bracey's Nursery in Louisiana, where many, many, many of our shrubs and trees come from in the Mississippi market, thank goodness. I'm happy to say I went to school with Randall Bracey. He knows a whole lot more than I do, but I really appreciate, you know, his work all these years. It's 28 at their place. Next week it's going to be 80.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. This is a problem. It's also why we tell people all the time you should buy your any shrubs and trees, you should buy them locally grown in your region because, frankly, they've been through it already.
They understand.
Exactly.
Yes.
Tell me what you think.
Wow. You know, when we spoke briefly earlier in the week, I've been really amazed at what had a little damage and what didn't.
Mm.
You know, I got a text from a friend of ours, Sandy, because the cold kind of burnt her hydrangeas, and she's concerned. Don't be. It's going to happen anyway. You know, we had Mother Nature walloped us a few days ago. And
in Central Mississippi, just like so much of the Deep South, we go up with this extreme is the thing.
It is.
You know, I mean, 1 week, we have the plants have no time to acclimate.
No, they don't. So, you know, if you saw a little bit of tip damage on, you know, new things, I wouldn't be real concerned about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you say, that's why you buy plants locally, because they have been acclimated to the up
and
down.
They've been through a lot, you know. I saw a couple of your photos this week, and it occurred to me that this is the question somebody would ask if we didn't answer it first. The top half of the plants, the green plants, you know, like canna leaves or banana leaves or something, are brown, and the rest of the plant looks great.
Yes.
Should I cut that back?
Yeah, I'm going to. You know, of course, I hauled 400 pounds of bananas to the street the other day.
Oh, dear.
But, you know, it's like I had
there'll be a lot more banana plants in Brandon now.
Yeah. I had a little insect problem on some of my alocasias and calocasias, a.k.a. elephant ears, everybody. And I cut them back all the way to the ground. Well, now they're starting to come back up.
And they will next week. They're going to put on 6 inches of new growth.
So, you know, if you have cannas that are burnt on the top, maybe go in there and selectively prune them and keep all that pretty until you have to take them all the way down.
I like that idea.
Well, and that also helps with timing. If you have a lot of...
you can't do everything at once.
If you have a lot of cannas, such as we do, you might want to do that in stages.
Yes, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Another thing, of course, that people are looking at is the lawn that they just started. I got an email this week from somebody who began a new lawn about 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
And now it looks dead, 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 as opposed to just dead. It looks dead, dead. And I can't tell you whether it is or not.
No, you really don't
know. Because it depends on how much roots it was able to make. So there may be a few losses.
Yes, there could be. But if we have...
You know, 80 degrees next week is going to change everything.
Yeah. If we have 2 weeks of 80 degree weather, you'll soon know what made it and what didn't. It'll pop right back up.
I remember when people used to wear, you know, wool coats and things to football games. I don't think that's the case anymore in our part of the world.
No.
We're out there in our shorts and flip-flops.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it was like 57 here this morning, and then it's going to be 80
pleasant,
this afternoon.
Just beautiful as it can be.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Great weather.
Now, that in turn, sadly, does not limit the conditions for something else we're going to talk about at some point this morning. That is the emerald ash borer and why you need to listen to local experts.
Yes.
Russell Bozeman is real smart. I'm going to sing his praises today, so y'all just go ahead and get ready for it. But the thing of it is, anticipating the problems in your garden, in your forest, you know, probably in your life, is a lot of being able to address them. And so we know now it's going to warm up a whole lot. Okay, go ahead and cut some stuff back, but don't be surprised if you see new growth.
No, not at all.
I drove by the Japanese maple over here that's near me that is literally in bloom and in green leaf at the same time. Looks lovely. It does not look like itself. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few oddballs, you know, strange things happening, because these are plants. They respond to the space around them, you know.
New growth. You know, I was expecting, we have some, I don't know, what, 30-gallon ferns? Huge mm-hmm. ferns. Mm-hmm. I mean,
big old things.
We're talking the size of small table. Yeah. And, you know, the night before that couple of, you know, 20s, whatever we hit, I'm like, do I? Am I going to go out there with the sheet? Should I? I didn't. And guess what? They're fine.
They're fine. Yeah, they're fine. Didn't care.
Yeah, they didn't care at all. Did not care.
Well, good morning to Paula from Dentville. She's sending us beautiful things today.
Good morning, Paula.
She's on her way to work.
Paula had a question for me the other day on a personal text, and I would love to talk about it this morning.
Well, good. What's up?
She has a camellia that she's eyeballed, and she wants to root some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested she's just start with layering over the winter,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if it's possible. And if you don't know what layering is, it's basically when you find a lower limb, weight it down to the soil.
You know, because you forgot to prune.
Yeah.
You got this thing
at the bottom. That one at the bottom. If you can get it to the ground, sort of rough the ground up, weight it down, just forget about it.
You'll be amazed.
You will be amazed. And then what you do is when it's all rooted into the ground, you just come and cut it free from the mother, and mm-hmm. there you mm-hmm. go.
It's a really good way to things like camellias and figs and sasanquas, too, because they often have those lower limbs that we like the look of. Now, I have seen people try to do our state tree, the magnolia, that way, and it wasn't so successful because a lot of those lower branches are just as big around as your arm.
You know? They're too large.
So
yeah.
We're talking about, we're not talking about wispy things, but we are talking about smaller girth branches than we might have further up on the tree, or if it's an older tree, that's harder too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for people such as Paula, that we know is a very busy lady, it's a much easier way of rooting mm-hmm. than having to nurse a cutting.
Well, I've been also very impressed with the woody results on the they're basically just air layering, but it's a clamp. You know, you put it on
right.
the plant and it does the work for you.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, I did that decades ago, but I think I did mine with like Saran wrap.
Sure. Oh yeah, though, that's the way I've always done it.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever had a roll of twist ties that you cut your own leaf,
right.
You know, that's
right.
how long ago that was.
Yeah, you know, and then thanks to the Amazon gods, we can get 20 versions of the same thing
exactly.
ready
exactly.
to go.
You were so right. When do I need to prune azaleas? That's a good question.
Not now. In May, roughly, would you say?
Yes, unless they're blooming really early next year. If it stays 80 degrees all winter, we may see them.
They may bloom in February.
But,
we don't know.
The idea is after flowering.
Yeah.
And that's one of the questions that came to me this week. How do you remember what to prune when? And there is a certain logic to it. For example, if it's a shrub and you're trying to get it to bloom again next year, you might want to prune that within a month of the time that it flowers. So if that's May, prune it before Father's Day. Okay, you can put those kind of things in your head for the calendars of things. But on the other hand, if it's blueberries, you wait till you pick the very last one. And then you prune it.
There's logic to it. And then they come out with some of these new varieties like Encore. You know, that's a tricky one.
It's a little bit trickier because if you prune it too far back after the spring bloom, the fall bloom won't be as good. But if you don't prune it at all, it turns into a pretty sloppy shrub. No, my apologies. I love Encore, but we are trying to grow them for flowers, you know. So
yeah, and I that is one of the things that I probably do that is totally wrong in the horticulture world.
Oh,
my Encores, I just kind of selectively groom them all the time so that they don't.
Well, you like
get
things to be in a particular shape, and
yeah, a little bit.
By goodness, they're going to stay that way.
Yes. I'm a little bit like that, just a little. You know, there are certain parts of the yard that
those azaleas that we're talking about have flowers on them now, so they are probably encores. They will bloom again in the spring, and that is when you would prune, is right after that first bloom. Same thing's true of sweet olive and Laura petalum. They bloom more than once a year, so if you're going to prune them, you need to prune them after their first big flush, and then they'll go ahead and rebloom for you later on.
I think the encores at my place may have not been blooming for 6 weeks. Otherwise, they've they've been throwing flowers all summer.
Yeah. They're beautiful. I just saw this week that there are even new ones coming out, even other varieties. It's a great plant. It's a wonderful plant. I'm happy to say I've known about it a long time because I went to school with the guy. But, you know, there are a lot of things that we do in this world. If I could tell you how many people try to breed a new plant and never get anywhere with it at all. I mean, I'm serious now. I've been talking about Eddie Smith and his daylilies over here for a long time. One of these days, there's going to be the best in the ever world, and that's going to be from Eddie Smith because he's busy. You know, you have to just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it because there's a lot of plants out here. We got to make one breakthrough into the market, you know, that's a whole other thing.
I'm curious, does Eddie Smith sleep?
Oh, no.
Oh, my
Clearly
gosh.
Not.
I mean, I can't keep up with that man.
And he has elves, too. The Keebler elves come over, I'm sure, to do some, because the beautiful garden and all that work.
I cannot.
Y'all know him from Southern Gardening on television.
So. Yes.
Anyway, fun stuff, just really fun stuff. I'm not going to look at the emerald borer right now. I've got all kind of things pulled up here, but I'm going to move away from that for the moment. And we're not to take away from the southern pine beetle. Okay, y'all, that's a problem. We all know that's a problem. But we are going to get into some of this other stuff. Today is National Recycling Day, Mark. Do you recycle anything? And I'm going to tell you right now, you do, but you don't even think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You absolutely do. Every time you buy a new battery, there's a fee on that battery. That's because that battery gets sent back, gets recycled, doesn't get allowed to be into the stream of pollutants that it has created. And that's because we're smart enough to realize that there's some things we don't really want in our environment anymore. One of them is lead. So lead-acid batteries got to go.
Or in our water.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But that's the number one thing that we do recycle in the United States. After that, we're like over 99%. That's why I say I'm sure you recycle that, because everybody does. You don't actually have a choice when you go to replace the battery somewhere.
Yeah, and we probably need to start a trend recycling pennies. I don't know. Just
they're gone. They're going to be antiques. You wait. In another year, there's going to be more penny jewelry, penny cufflinks. You know, I'm serious.
Right.
I'm serious. It's going to happen because we've all got jars of pennies around. I mean, and if you don't, somebody close to you does. So there's going to be lots of things. I anticipate that. They'll all be shiny again suddenly.
They will be.
Instead of in the floor of your car, you know. Paper and paperboard are the second most recycled and the most recycled by municipalities. We have a friend that I will not mention because she would embarrass her, but she's a fantastic flower grower, among other things.
Yes.
And she has just taken 15 or so cardboard boxes and filled a room in her house with a series of tunnels and castles for her cats.
It is amazing.
Out of cardboard, and they are incredible. It's like big Legos.
It's amazing.
Cardboard. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I wish I had such talent, but I don't. So.
Did you see the picture of that viola I took yesterday?
I love that. It's a beautiful one. This friends, we don't see fringed leaf or curly leafed or scalloped leaf. Scalloped petal rather. Violas that often. They are wonderful and popular, but they don't make it to us too often, I think, because they tend to be sort of a northeast thing.
That one is called Sunshine.
It's beautiful.
And
it's multicolored and multifaceted.
One of the girls said it looks like a over easy egg. It actually kind of does.
I think it looks like a fancy skirt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like that you brought in cyclamen photos today, too.
Yes.
It is the season, and I do have things to say about cyclamen if anybody's interested.
And I had somebody on Facebook say that they had bought tons of cyclamen over the years and never had much luck with them. And the problem could be you're being too nice to them.
Yeah, I was going to say it's overwatering.
Yeah.
Or actually, it's watering hardly at all.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're not. You see, I'm starting the holiday procession of flowers across supertalk.tv. Yeah. This is tapestry, the variegated leaf poinsettia that I like so much. I've had friends tell me that was just the worst idea in the world. If you're trying to give a picturesque focal point plant for somebody, why not a topiary?
Hey, while we have a couple minutes before break, we have our first phone call this morning from Mark and Star.
Beg your pardon.
Mark and Star had a question about transporting daylilies. So you're on, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody?
Doing great, thanks. Great. What's on your mind today?
Okay, so here's a story. My mom just moved her to an assisted living. We're going to sell her property, but she's got about 40 years of work in daylilies mm-hmm. that are gorgeous. And before we sell the property, I would love to transplant some of them. However, I am in the middle of building a house. I don't have a spot to put them. Can I put them in a pot? What's your advice?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You take this one, Mark. You've done this 1,000 times.
Get your hands on it.
I can barely hear you. Say again.
What we were going to say is absolutely put them in a pot. Get your hands on some pots, dig up the clumps, put them in a container, build you a little small nursery. The good news is this time of year, you really won't have to do anything to them once you get them transplanted and watered in, and just separate them off to the side.
I can leave them in a pot through the winter and then plant them in the spring.
There are tens of thousands of little baby daylilies sitting in pots at nurseries
as we speak.
All over the South.
There's some in my yard.
The nation. Oh, yeah, they'll be fine.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I will tell you this. If it's going to be frigid, make sure that you put all the pots right close together so they can keep each other warm, and put them somewhere other than the north side of the property. So that's really those are the biggest tips. But I'm serious. When I first got to Mississippi 30-some-odd years ago, someone gave me some daylilies, and they were in a bushel basket. I forgot about them. I was moving into a house, getting my children in school, 10,000 other things. Found them 6 months later, and they were fine. They're still blooming as we speak.
Yes. So. Yes.
Tell your mama how wonderful that is. Tell your mama what a good son she has to go and get her plants. And also tell her we want to see pictures.
I could care less about a piece of furniture, but these daylilies are, 40 years of it is just, they're spectacular.
Oh, thank you, Mark. You're the best. We got to get out of here for a moment. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these three essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least three written estimates. Visit msboc.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional, because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to msboc.us to learn more. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
Pine Grove Behavioral Health and Addiction Services, located in Hattiesburg, is one of the nation's most comprehensive treatment campuses. Pine Grove provides the highest quality mental health care and addiction treatment for children, adolescents, and adults. Pine Grove offers many levels of care, including inpatient and outpatient treatment for children and adolescents. If you have any questions, please call 1-888-574-HOPE and visit pinegrovetreatment.com.
We've sent that Rip Van Winkle.
The rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be bright.
It's really hard not to sing along with that one.
I know. And it is absolutely appropriate for the weather.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ain't no water clouds up there. No.
Beautiful, beautiful.
My question is, what rain?
Yeah. it came and went that fast.
What rain? That was a month ago, wasn't it?
That's right.
What rain?
It came and went that quickly, that's for sure. There's always something else to think about when it comes to this time of year. You're either getting ready to have guests over or you've just had guests over. Something's growing that you didn't expect to grow. Something else is popping up that you didn't expect to pop up. And yes, it's time for us to be paying a little bit more attention to things. Really, we're getting toward the holidays. I see poinsettias everywhere already, and yes. I do think, well, that's okay. As long as the yellow flowers in the very center of that red bract are tightly, tightly, tightly closed, you still got another month at least with that flower in your house before it begins to age, right? I mean, that's how it appears to me. But that's the only thing to really look for. You don't want them to have been wilted or anything, but go ahead and take them home. They're fun.
They are fun. I love them. You know, and I was going to bury Lance in poinsettia photos, but I held off. I thought, can you believe I showed restraint?
There are many weeks left. We'll get them all in.
Yeah,
for sure.
I will bury him with those. Because, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with that plant, but, you know, not everybody's been in the position that I've been in.
No,
compared to that plant.
My growing experience is limited to a few seasons of getting the cuttings from Yoder or Ball or somebody, you know, in the little green styrofoam deals, you know, and growing right. them that way, which is how they all begin in many places. But I have to say that I still have a great love relationship with them. And the one that's outside here in trying its best to turn red at some point, it's starting to get a little bit pink up in the edges. It takes that poor plant, 6-year-old poinsettia, you know, there's no
right.
reason for it to still be here. But it just keeps going and going, and I'm enjoying that. But it's a wonderful perennial tree in the tropics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not, I mean, we just have literally shrunk their whole world for the joy of our tables.
And you use the tropics word, and in my notes, I had made notes about tropical, subtropical, Ooh. All the differences in those plants. And, you know, I feel like the consumers at the nurseries get a little misinformation sometimes about, you know, how perennial things are when it comes to tropicals mm-hmm. in our area. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
The subject is always, it's always needing to be discussed again, mainly because your microclimate at your house may be different from the microclimate at somebody's house 5 miles away from you, which really yeah. doesn't seem like it's that far, but that's why it's a microclimate. On the other hand, in the middle of State Street, you know, in Fondren, I grew cestrum for about 6 or 7 years in the ground. Everybody told me it couldn't be done. That's probably why I planted it.
Right.
And it's not there now. It did die eventually, but there are some things that can be coaxed a little bit out of their season. Warm environments, but you do have to know what the plants are. And I don't think I don't think environmentally it necessarily, they can't tell you this one can take
right.
10 degrees less than that one can take or any of that kind of stuff. But sometimes we don't even get the names right, so it's hard to look them up.
They don't. You know, and that's why I go back to, I tell a lot of my clients that are concerned about what to put here, what should I plant, you know, what's going to do well. Drive around your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. You find things you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look around and see what's doing well in your area.
Imitation is the best form of flattery.
Yes, it is.
And your neighbors probably won't get mad at you. So.
They probably won't notice, actually.
That's true.
You know,
you have a point.
There's reasons for that. And that little snapdragon that keeps popping up.
Yeah.
It is called.
We're on supertalk.tv today,
yeah,
y'all, in case you didn't happen to know.
Yeah, you need to be watching it. You miss so much when you don't.
Yeah. I mean, not that we aren't cute ourselves, but the plants are even better.
It is Sweet Duet Peach.
Sweet Duet Peach. You know,
yeah.
I saw a Sweet Sonnet this week,
yeah.
and I thought, they've started giving snapdragons such friendly names.
Yeah. The only thing, you know, and I had this conversation with Norman on Facebook.
Norman Winter?
Yeah, Norman
yeah.
Winter. Hey, Norman. How can it be a snapdragon if it doesn't snap?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Because it's an open flower, but
yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's oddball, but it's lovely, and you feel like somebody shocked it to get it to look like that.
Yeah.
You know, they just
exactly.
took the flower and went pop, you know.
Pop, yeah, broke its jaw, basically.
But I guess it's still a snapdragon, huh?
Well, I'm giving that one a whirl.
I like it.
I snagged up a couple. We'll see what happens.
There's always some fun things.
There is.
Corinne's in Jackson today. She says, how to get the chipmunks in my yard to go elsewhere. Mothballs, any natural deterrents they're getting in the flower and vegetable pots. Yeah, kitty cats help a lot with that. Mothballs might help if you don't have any other animals that are going to come through and accidentally eat them. There are natural sprays. Bonide makes a good one. You just have to use it frequently.
And, you know, I think I've had better luck in the past, personally, with the granules that Bonide does.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of, you know, if you'll read the labels on a lot of those repellents, they're very organic, I think.
Oh, yeah. The materials in them oftentimes are not corrupted at all by anything else. It's just an odd collection of things you wouldn't expect.
Like cinnamon and
You wouldn't put it together yourself.
No.
It's not like me and the big red pepper, you know, to get out there and get on everything. It's not the same as that. But the chipmunks might not like that either.
They might not. But they'd like a 50-pound tomcat, even less.
In the that's true. If they're in the flower and vegetable pots and digging up holes, my father always said you should just feed them on the other side of the yard. I don't find that that works. I find that it means they call their friends.
Right.
You know, and everybody comes over to eat whatever it is you've put out. So, but I'm going to go with, in pots you can always put some chicken wire in the top of the container on top of the soil, which keeps them from digging, because it bothers them. You know, it gets in their claws. So that might be one thing to do. As well,
definitely
as rock mulch, maybe. You know, people use pebbles for mulch in containers a lot, so that might be helpful. They probably wouldn't like to dig in that.
Yeah.
All right, here's one for you.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, I started to root some cuttings. Last week, I took your advice and put them on a heat mat with a grow light. They are bright green and look great until some mildew appeared in a few leaves, which I removed. Should I do anything else to treat them? What do you think, Mark? Have I created an environment that's just too juicy?
too humid, probably do, you know, is watch them. Maybe pull, tug a little bit, and if they're starting to root, kind of ease the heat down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You think the heating pad and the moisture in the soil may be causing that.
It could be staying a little bit too warm.
Yeah, a little bit too warm.
When I have felt that I was doing that, sometimes I'll take one of those flats that's just plastic mesh, you know, turn it upside down and put the pots on top of it so they're still getting the heat, but they're not getting as much of it.
As much of it, yeah. Put something in between them and that.
That can help sometimes.
Yeah. And just
great, though. I'm glad that they turned nice and green because they weren't.
Isn't that fun? What was it? Do you remember?
I can't remember. We were rooting stuff. I don't remember what he was doing. But I do remember, I'm trying to think, flowering maple maybe? Something in that group. One of the ones that's not easy.
Right, right.
Abutilon is not easy to root, so I'm glad it's coming along.
No. I ran across a beautiful abutilon somewhere in somebody's yard this last week.
I love that plant.
Yeah, doing
beautiful
great.
Beautiful plant. I like plants that you have to lie down on the ground and look up into the flowers. Angel trumpets, abutilons, those are fun. Bell shapes, you know.
It's a great one. It is a great one.
Another great text. This is so, Connie's in Franklin County. This is so what happens. We say all the time, the labels, the labels, the labels. Well, the labels in this case told her that her false cypress golden mop evergreens would stay 3 to 4 feet, but they're taller. Can she prune them? And when? What do you think?
I would selectively prune them. You know,
okay.
I would not, you know, a gold mop cypress is not something that's supposed to look like a meatball.
No. It has a lot of interesting angles and lines in it. That's true.
And yes, I have seen that plant much larger than what those labels say. It generally takes a while, so you've probably had them for a minute. But I would selectively bring them down. You know, an evergreen like that, if you selectively do it, you could probably get away with it now.
She says they're cone-shaped, so that would be good. You could just trim it back to its shape, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Just bring it back.
Who's calling us?
Well, we have John, and he's calling from Ware, Mississippi, and he has a question about rooting azaleas.
Hey, John. Welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show. You're on with Mama and Peaches. What's going on?
Well, I'm an idiot, I guess.
No.
I tried to...
Never admit
that. Putting the limbs down and putting a brick on them, and I tried air layering. and the air layer, and I guess I didn't realize I needed to keep water on them. I guess they didn't root too well, but on the putting them in the ground and roughing the ground up, putting them on the ground, putting the brick on, do I need to scuff the skin a little bit and put rooting hormone on it, or
it won't hurt?
Or do I need to do any? What am I doing wrong? Is what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. I cover them up and leave them 4 months, 6 months, and then they're still not rooted.
It could be that they need to be
enough water on them, or
you might not be. Or the opposite obviously is true too. If the area floods, it's not going to produce roots. But my thought would be that yes, it's not going to hurt to scar the stem a little bit. And it's certainly, rooting hormone never hurts anybody's feelings in that circumstance. So I wouldn't have any problem with that. What else, Mark?
If you could possibly, you know, take a spade, a shovel, trowel, get that root into it, you know, like a groove.
Oh, get it a deeper space where you're trying to get it to root.
Almost like a trench, small trench.
And that might help.
Put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could use
make a trench in the branch with a
right. You know,
and then lay that
box cutter and put rooting hormone in it.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly. And maybe if you've got some potting soil, extra potting soil, you know, something a little peat based.
Yeah, let's just enrich the environment a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Make it encourage it to love its space. You know, because without us seeing go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we had a hard freeze 4 years ago, and it really busted the heck out of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And probably have another bad one this year.
And how
and
big?
I want to try.
How big is?
My mother planted all these, there's some I'd really like the color on, and I'd like to expand on them. But I've had no luck rooting anything.
How big around is this branch that you're trying to root? Is it pencil size, smaller?
No, about half a pencil.
Okay, well, that should work.
Yeah, that ought to work.
Yeah.
That ought to work. I think a slightly deeper trench, maybe some rooting hormone won't hurt. And, yeah, if it doesn't rain, absolutely, it does need a little bit of help in that regard.
Well, it's so dry right now. I mean, I can cut a trench in the dirt.
I understand. That's a whole nother part, isn't it? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I hope it works.
All right, we'll try that. Thank you.
Thank you much. Let's see. I planted two sugar maples at the same time. In the past, you've told me to fertilize the bad-looking one. Yeah, I do tell that. I do tell you that. What kind of fertilizer do you recommend? You know, I'm really a fan of absolutely just plain slow-release tree food for this kind of circumstance. It's going to be a complete fertilizer. It's going to have N, P, and K, but it's also going to have all the minor elements. And I believe each manufacturer makes one. I know Fertilome does, and probably Scott's as well. But you're just looking for something that we're not trying to grow flowers. We're trying to grow trunks and branches. So get a tree food and use it as recommended. You don't have to do, back in, you know, when I came along, I'm a little older than Mark. When I came along, you had to drill holes in the ground and pour the fertilizer in it. But we don't have to do that anymore.
No.
You can. Some people still do, but you don't have to. These will be more easily dissolved.
You know, and the tree stakes are still a thing, too.
Tree stakes are a good thing. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
I do love a sugar maple. This is so funny. Dave, that color is just beautiful. Dave from Ripley's, who's showing us these sugar maples. Just a beautiful, beautiful color.
It's I'm trying to get them all up. I've got about 40 I'm putting in right now.
Pictures. I understand.
Yeah,
people
they'll
just
all
don't
be up in the next segment.
Often enough. Yeah, we were right. That is an abutilon flowering maple up there in Madison that we've been working on.
Great.
For true. Ooh, turnips and mustard, William and Jones County. Now, I'm telling you what, we need to be going to lunch. We know where we need to be now. That's a beautiful field. Just gorgeous.
And
love.
And what is that address?
Yes, exactly. Where do we turn? You know? Let's see. Oh, I don't know anything about this. Well, I know a little bit, but not much. John's in Florence. He says he's repairing a broken pond dam in case it rains ever again.
It's a good time to do it.
How would I get some cattails started on each end of the pond, and are they invasive? Not technically,
but sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty easy to start. All you need is one.
Well, he's right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe three.
But, you know, I would suggest maybe finding you some Louisiana Irish to get started on that.
That'd be a good start, too, both of those things.
Yeah.
And let's talk about it a little bit more when we come back. We're going to hear from a couple more folks, and we've also got some really funny things to tell you today. This is the Garden Mama Show. We're having a good time. Stay with us.
Mississippi Propane Gas Association was founded in 1941 to represent and promote the views and goodwill of the propane industry. Visit propane.com to learn more about our dealers, suppliers, safety, and application of propane. Propane, energy for everyone. Visit propane.com. That's propane.com.
Hey there, homeowners! Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Garden Mama here.
Tell Mama and all the folks back home. Sometimes a man just feels he's got to make it alone. Tell Mama why I'm leaving so soon.
You know, we love it when you tell Mama. We kind of love it when you tell Peaches, too.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Thank you.
We appreciate well, frankly, I'm fun, but I'm not near as much fun as we are together, so we have a much better time. I wanted to talk a little bit more about cattails just for a moment, because there are a couple of things to know. One is that, yes, you can grow them from the rhizomes, and they'll be bigger, faster, and spread quicker. But you can also grow them from seed if you're trying to control their situation. And you can also grow them in what are known as pond pots, like you would grow water lilies in, if you don't want them to spread as quickly as they would in a particular area. But the cattails are beautiful. I have really only one story to tell, and that's when we were working on Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? This is behind the scenes stuff here at the beginning of that movie, when the road crew is, the chain gang is working on the railroad, the dust that you see in the air is cattails. And yes, I had to harvest some of them.
There's some fluff in a cattail.
There's a lot of fluff.
It's hard to believe there's that much
there. It was a beautiful experience. And I'm really tickled about this cat that we're, I mean, this turtle that we're looking at. I'm just glad. My cat came in and looked at the turtle, and I went, oh dear. This could be exactly whole thing. But at any rate, you will, the big other big deal about cattails is if it doesn't rain, you will have to water them, because they're not going to get started unless they're in water, a very wet environment, I should say. It could be mud, but it's got to be a very wet environment. Okay. That is some good.
That was one of my favorite things in the neighborhood I grew up in. We had several lakes, and one of my friends, they lived on the one in the very back, and one of the homes that was built there, built up on a hill, but they had put in a bunch of the Louisiana irises, yes, and cattails right at the time when the house was built. And the maturity of those plants is just amazing.
Yeah.
I was the cattail was one of my grandmother's favorite to paint. Mm-hmm. And she was a flower person, you know, and plants. But I always had an affinity for the cattail. It's just a unique, weird plant that just doesn't seem like it should have that stuff in it, and why, but it's just such a cool looking plant. And then you pair it up with those irises,
right?
And it's such a cool green and yellow and the browns. It just works so
well
together.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think it's a beautiful.
It's a great recommendation, yeah. Because like I said, I know that exact setting, and it is beautiful.
You could have a lot of fun with that, actually. You know, cannas love a wet spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do all kinds of stuff.
A little bit of cyperas.
Yeah.
You know,
mix it
just
up.
Just a few fancy things. Any time you have an opportunity to plant a bog garden, there's more that will grow there than you think.
There always is, yes.
You know, I think about some of the Lobelia cardinalis and some of those things that grow in very wet parts of the woods, and we don't think about that. because when we see them, they're usually in a flower bed, but they will also adapt to those kind of situations that are boggier than others. It's a beautiful, beautiful sort of environment. I agree, though, repairing the dam is a very good idea, particularly since it's not raining right now.
Right.
Because there's nothing worse than trying to keep one from slip-sliding away in that other circumstance. All right, now, gentlemen, we've been talking a lot about the whole thing about pruning and when and how and what and which one and how to remember. I'm working on I would like to think it'll be a postcard, but it may be too big to be a postcard, of some of these kind of notes that are just a bang, 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 like you could put it on your refrigerator. So Corinne has asked about that. I'm going to tell you that we do, in fact, have that on my mind. I'm hoping to have it as a wonderful thing. The other thing that I want to tell you about plants in bogs and plants that will literally take a space is that they're not technically invasive because they can be removed and will not just continue to bother you.
Yes.
If a plant cannot be physically removed without, as Lance has experienced, the 40,000 tree seedlings that it has left over the last 20 years coming up everywhere. And then, of course, those don't all get caught, so they grow, and then eventually it spreads out. But they are plants that don't have anything that eat them. They don't have anything that will control them except you, and oftentimes you can't. I remember the introduction of really beautiful, beautiful, just lovely miniature water hyacinths into the environment. You know, came in as pond plants, I guess, from New Jersey or something. Well, they're here anyway because they're rampant. Technically probably not invasive, but you don't want to have to cope with them. So you do have to be a little bit more careful about what you're planting.
Not at all.
I don't know the name of this plant either. What are corn dog plants? I don't know.
A corn dog plant?
Yeah, he loves cattails and corn dog plants. I don't know what that is.
Well, you know, a cattail bloom looks like a corn dog.
Well, that's true. It does. If I'm saying something filthy, I apologize because I didn't know I was.
Yeah,
it's like a pronto pup.
Wonder who thought of that. Yeah. How late at night did you have to stay up to think of that?
Of a pronto pup? Yeah. The greatest selling corn dog in the history of mankind.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Who thought of I mean, it's the best name in the world. But,
yeah, I mean, in the color of the sign, it's like it's the old black and yellow. I mean, like, they didn't like go out on a limb, and it's like a brown or black like blob.
You have to really you have to know what you're looking at and what you want.
It's genius. I mean, they haven't changed anything. It's like Malone's State Fair taffy. I don't think the box has changed in so long.
No.
I mean, it's why would you ever change a classic?
No. You know? I believe those are the wax might peel a little bit on the outside of the box, but that's about it. They're going to be that way forever.
That'd be like Reese's changing their colors.
Whoever makes that decision should definitely never run a company.
No, that would just be wrong.
Well, somebody did originally have to design that. Graphic art and writing and all that sort of stuff, you know, should absolutely have become something. The
use of color, though, is so important, right? Because it tells you that it's the Halloween candy of choice. Right. When you look at a Reese's, you go, that's Halloween candy.
That's it right there.
And then you still buy it the rest of the year. So whoever came up with that
Well, it's also why, I say this because I know it to be true, but, I mean, if it's not, I apologize. I was taught this. That's why McDonald's are not pale blue and green. They're red and yellow because it moves you.
Yeah.
You keep going.
And think of that when you're putting your plants out. Think
exactly.
of that with your colors. That's Mark's specialty. If you want
really
to be
is.
Branded as somebody drives through your neighborhood and they go, oh, yeah, that's the Smith house. Because of the colors. Mark's the guy you want to holler at.
Or you put up a 15-foot snowman.
Yeah. You can do that too.
Yeah. You can do that.
Holding poinsettias.
Yeah, of course, holding poinsettias. Yeah. Well, somebody has to think of these things.
They do.
And Mark thinks of things better than I do in that regard all the time. But I will tell you this. Today is I Love to Write Day. And as a writer, I'm happy to say I'm a published author. I used to, you know, I was brought up to not ever brag about that sort of stuff. But for me, it's a big deal because it's what I wanted to do. So it doesn't mean much to anybody else. But I am one of around 135,000 writers in the United States. That's not very many people.
No, that's not, because there's 330 million people here.
That's not very many
people. When you said it's you know, to write day, I thought you were like to write wrongs. You know?
Oh,
but no, you're
well,
with
okay.
the W in
we
there.
We can do that.
A writer.
We can do out there and write some
day.
Wrongs.
Like that Robin Plant? You looked at me wrong.
Is
Plant.
Robin Hood a writer?
That's a good one. He's a writer, absolutely.
Boom, I need to write
He's
that down.
He's a writer of those
See,
wrongs.
Write that down. Write that down. The difference is that some of these stats about how many writers there are come from the way you fill out your tax forms, because that's the Bureau of Labor Statistics keeps track of that. But so there are a lot of people that writing would be their second line. They don't keep it as a they don't keep it necessarily as their first occupation. But those of us who do, because it's what we've mainly done, have an opportunity to be one of 135,000 plus people. That's pretty cool. It's actually a few less than in the beginning of the pandemic, because I think everybody stayed home, thought they were going to bake sourdough and do some writing. So we're going to be back for another hour of fun here on the Garden Mama Show. Lance, take that dog out for a walk, would you please?
He's chasing everything in sight.
I'm going with him.
Stick around. Oh, my goodness.
Garden Mama, sure need you. Garden Mama, where you been so long?
We are agriculture, the number one industry in Mississippi. We are 180,000 member families strong, a century of generations. We are grassroots Mississippi in all 82 counties. We are Unified, the largest general farm organization in Mississippi. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
State Treasurer David McRae has returned more unclaimed money and delivered more college and career savings to Mississippians than ever before. He's done it by making the state's education savings programs more flexible, benefiting students and teachers at virtually all schools, private or public, vocational or technical. He's making college and career savings and getting unclaimed money easier than ever. Don't let another day go by without claiming your cash or jumpstarting a career. Treasury.ms.gov.
Hey, this is Bob. Just
it's growing in gallon cans for that same reason. So.
Yes. You know, and I made in my note, wrote down in my notes, you know, in the wintertime, if you will fall, early winter, all winter actually in Mississippi, get your little stockpile of lettuce seed and about every 3 weeks sow some more.
Just do some more.
And you will have lettuce, you know, and don't pull it, just cut it off. It'll grow right back.
Mm-hmm. I'm very much in favor of using lettuce to fill the spaces in the containers that don't have annuals in them.
Oh, yes.
You know, maybe you took out some zinnias or you took out some marigolds or some celosia or something. Well, that container's still fine, but you don't want all of the potential weeds to blow in there and start, so why not fill it up with something you do like,
and
lettuce seeds.
You know, my garden is rearrangeable. I have a lot of hard features. So you get out there, clean up your beds. If you have hard features, you know, like gazing balls, bottle trees, do a little
strange
rearranging.
Statuaries. Oddball flagpoles.
Yeah, leftover skeletons from Halloween. I might have done that. There'll be photos later.
Do they all have Christmas hats on now?
They're going to.
I love that.
But rearrange, you know. One of our neighbors, who I dearly love, she's like, I just love coming home at night because you've always changed something. It's
see?
Different every day.
There are a lot of people who feel that way. They want to see something different, particularly when it's seasonal. And we always talk about in classic gardening, we talk about the business of four-season color, four-season texture, four-season interest, which goes directly to that subject we were on the previous hour, and of course that's pruning.
Yes.
If you're not pruning right, those things aren't going to come ahead and fulfill their mission in that particular setting. So it's important, you know.
Get out there and, you know, remove all, any of the dead branches that you have in anything, you know. because now that
we don't need lichen in the camellias, you know, we can get those branches out. They're not going to do anything.
Take all that dead stuff away. Now that, you know, a lot of the summer annuals are gone and the different perennials are going to rest, you can see where your faults are in the garden.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. So everything becomes obvious.
Yes. Yeah. So go out and, you know, eyeball those and don't make a list like me. It will take you forever.
Pick three things on the list only.
Pick a couple of
three
spots.
Three things at a time. Three things at a time.
And say, I'm going to make this
check
one pretty.
Check those off and make a new list.
You know, and then that also goes to, it's seed saving time, folks.
Oh, yeah, it is.
If you're a seed saver.
That's true.
This is the time to do it.
And frankly, it's been dry enough in most of our region that seed saving this year should be stupendous.
Oh, yeah.
The saddest thing is when it gets to be just about ready to, you know, you want to let those seed pods go as long as they can on their plant so you're getting a mature seed.
Yes.
But at the same time, if it rains on them, then they mildew and you've lost everything. So it's a balancing act.
And I have a confession to make, Garden Mama.
Uh-oh.
I might have a bag full of Buckeye seeds from State Street.
Well, we'll add them to the tube full that I have over here.
Yes, so that's something
been a wonderful tree. I love
yes.
that tree.
But yeah, there's a lot you can do out in the garden right now. And I'll tell you, you know, you suggested, I think the last time I was on the show, this is a good time of year to go to your independent garden centers and get to know the people. Mm-hmm. Spend some time.
And this
with
is
them.
Also the time if there is something that you want that they don't carry, this is when they're gearing up for next spring, making orders and doing all that stuff. You can let them know what it is and why you think they should carry it.
Yes.
Sometimes that's the way you get the fertilizer or the particular pest control product or even a series of containers or something that you're looking for. You can't run in the middle of March. Because it's already running.
No.
Spring's but, already gone at the garden center.
Yeah, they are gearing up, definitely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely gearing up.
You know, I've always felt like that's one of the hardest jobs in the world is to run a garden center because you don't know what's going to happen next week.
No.
I have been working in garden centers in my life where it rained every weekend in March and April. Do you know how that kills business?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It makes for a very, very big compost pile.
Very, very long spring. And that's where the money is, of course, because you can't, if you're not making any money, you're not moving your business forward. So there's some really important parts to developing that loyalty with your local garden center or centers. And also it's realizing what they're doing and when they're doing it. And right now they're getting ready. I know it looks like Christmas, you know, they're in the middle of it. They are. But trust me, at the same time they're in the middle of Christmas, they're also planning for next spring. So go and talk to them. You're so right.
Yeah, it's a great time to do it. Fortunately, I get to spend a lot of time in garden centers. But this is when you go see them. Definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Marshall and Terry, good morning. He's got a grow house, hot house for the winter. That looks nice. Lots of ferns, lots of bright windows. That's pretty. And a beautiful plastic structure that is attached to the house. You know how I love that. I love an attached structure because then you just open the window and the heat comes out from your house into the greenhouse. I like that.
We had another one last week that came in right after you went off air and Handyman came on, and it was kind of appropriate for both shows because it was much the same of what Mr. Marshall is doing here. And Terry, his wife, had asked him to create a greenhouse for her to bring the plants in, more of a warm house, and did it in the garage, much very similar. Great work, too. I want to comment on Marshall and the individual who
was just beautiful.
Yeah, great job there.
That's really
cool. And, yeah, those ferns, they're going to love that.
Oh, look. And I like that it's elevated. The other thing about building a structure to put plants in, even the simplest one, if you can get the plants off the ground, they'll stay warmer. It's just the way it is because heat rises, you know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to you making it back to Mississippi so you can come over and take a 30-second tour of my greenhouse.
Well, it'll probably be a little longer than that. I'm up and down the road.
It is very full.
If anybody's been looking for me, I'm nursing a toe injury, so I'm not there this weekend, or I would have been with y'all. The truth of the matter is that when you run into a stepping stone with your foot, you should be more careful. This is what I have learned.
That's an old toe stubbing is what
that is. This is what I have learned. So it, but it's gonna get better.
Well, that's the difference between you and I. If I were to run into one, it would probably be with my head.
Well, now see, we're trying not to do that. I'm trying real hard not to do that. That's why I'm being very careful about where I'm going and what I'm doing. Tell you what else I'm doing though. It's National Bundt Cake Day,
it
y'all.
It is.
It's time to get started.
People
time
have such a problem started. With bunting in baseball
and,
these days, but you know,
and,
when it comes
terrible,
to cakes, man. But when we come to cakes, it's
but
hard to beat a bunt.
When we come to cakes, it's a whole thing.
And, it's a whole
and
new deal.
Here's the surprise. You know, I am the food guy, Lance. If you look to your left, you have a bundt cake.
Really, I didn't look in there because I didn't want my belly growling too early.
Well, where did you go to? I'm sorry, I got myself caught up in my.
Where did I get the bundt cake?
Yeah.
Nothing Bundt Cakes. Of
Nothing
course.
Bundt.
Is
those
there
are,
another place?
Good.
I mean, that is the most amazing store. And I never thought places like Cupcake Only and Bundt Cake Only would be.
Who knew?
Who knew? But man, they're so good that that's the deal. I mean, like, nobody can comprehend it.
Literally. Yeah, this
you
is,
eat one and you're like, oh my God.
This is a Bundt Cake God moment. I'm sitting in the lobby waiting to get my hair done. My beard, everybody. I don't have any hair. I look at the national day of, and it says National Bundt Cake Day. Guess what's next door?
A moment of
pork clips.
An absolute moment.
I mean, I'm like, wait a minute.
I love that.
Are you going to Sports Clips your place?
Sports well, Clips.
I
was yes,
say,
sir.
I know exactly where you are then.
Yeah.
You have my great joy. I have to tell you, the only time I've ever encountered one of those, it was gifted, and it took me 3 days to eat it, and I enjoyed every bite.
Yes.
It was just perfect.
And I
bake bundt cakes, but I bake the whole size ones.
The heavier
don't do
they are,
ones.
The better they are for you.
I asked the young lady that waited on me. I said, "Did you know that tomorrow's National Bundt Cake Day?" And she said, "Well, of course."
Yeah, that's their Easter and
yeah,
and
we have Halloween. That on the wall back here in the bakery. You know,
but I mean, I wonder how many people actually knew that.
We have David Dahlquist to thank for that. He was the person who invented, he did Nordic ware. He was up in Minnesota, and he was basically a kitchen product supplier. You know, they did pans and that sort of stuff, trays and muffin tins and all those kinds of things. And the women from the Hadassah Society came to him. Now, Hadassah is one of the largest Jewish fundraising philanthropy organizations that there is. And they said they wanted what they knew as a German cake. It has a wonderful German name to it, the Gugelhupf. And he said, well, we're obviously not going to call it that. This was in the 1950s. It was just shortly after World War II. And there wasn't, you know, Volkswagen Beetles had not made it back to the market yet either. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. But that when he invented it and they began to call it Bundt, B-U-N-D-T, that's an abbreviation, or that's an extension, rather, of the word that actually means gathering or bond, and that's the idea is that you bake it for a gathering or a group of people. Obviously, because they were smart, they added the T to it so nobody could take the name and go somewhere else with it. But it almost died right there. I mean, this one little good, you know, Hadassah is a big organization. It's not that big. And they, until somebody won the Pillsbury Bake Off with it, by doing a tunnel of fudge bundt cake, which was probably the first one I ever baked myself, it won, and bundt cake pans flew off the shelf and have been doing so ever since.
There you go.
Isn't that fun?
And then the Jell-O people decided, wait, if you
wait,
put
we
Jell-O
can do this.
In that pan,
we can do this. That's right. We don't have to do those other things. We can do this. You know?
Exactly.
So it's really fun, though. The question always is, what do you bring to a party? What do you bring to? And I'm not that good. I can cook a lot. I cook a lot. But I'm not that great at party dishes. You take a bundt cake, you are a hit when you walk in the door and when you leave, because you're taking home an empty pan because everybody ate it.
Now, I've learned over the years when I had to like bring something and I'm not a great cook, or the stuff that I would eat, people would be like, "Nah, man, I'm not doing that." But I never lost a battle. When I walked into a place with a bucket of fried chicken from KFC.
There you go.
I mean, you're a winner. I mean,
yeah, you win then.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, we love you, man. So you get to be, you're the KFC chicken guy when you start showing up. You didn't bring a bucket of chicken? Oh, man, my bad, you know.
Well, it's like Thanksgiving, you know. Everybody has that one person in their family that you know they're going to bring the bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just need to bring the bread.
Go to a baker and get some bread, but don't bring a loaf of bunny bread.
That's a nice way of saying we've ate your cooking.
Debbie at Ocean Springs is showing off a rum cake bundt. Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
I'm ready.
Nice.
Lance, of course, is responding, can we eat the whole thing?
I want to throw in a little plug here, because we were talking about hard features for your garden, which can include metal objects, glass, bottle trees. Guess what today is?
What?
Chimneyville.
Oh, is it? Well, that's
yes.
wonderful.
So if
now
you're
tell
in,
folks about Chimneyville, because that's a great... It's the,
if
the,
you're in Central Mississippi, pay them a visit at the Crafts Museum in Ridgeland. Mm-hmm. They always
it's
have
a beautiful
lots of,
thing. It's a beautiful place every day.
Yes.
Their gift shop is world class. But I will tell you that this event is always fun.
Yes. And it snuck up on me, or I would be there.
But reset my watch. What time is it?
I have my list. And, you know, if I end up there, then I won't get any of my list done.
Well, it's ample time day. So perhaps you will have ample time.
There you go.
They certainly have ample time to talk to you about all the crafts and the artists that are there. It's an amazing place and delightful people, for sure.
If you were going to market that bundt cake right there, that rum cake, all you'd have to do is put like a bottle of good rum right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, just sit there and say, for sale. Oh, yeah. You'd sell that for $100.
Captain Morgan's.
Yeah, just whatever. Yeah.
Right in the middle.
Spiced rum, pop it right down in that little hole. There you go. That's what it's for, isn't it?
You would think. I have done many with a little vase of flowers in the middle of them sort of party that I'm talking about.
You are the garden mama.
There is that.
You could go that route.
Well, but I don't know that I've baked a rum cake. I'm going to have to pursue that now.
And so your rum is so
delicious. I did a
delicious.
Bourbon pecan one once, and that was pretty good.
Hey, the Caribbean rums are so delicious, though. You know, there's so many varieties that we don't get here.
Yes.
But that, like down there, there's I've heard stories of like the, I think it's like burlap bags and things in the old days that they would, you know, things would be soaked in, and they would take those. And I think Hunter Thompson was one that used to do this.
That's
and
right.
They would boil it down and then get the, the remnants out of that burlap, and it would be like 2,000 proof.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you couldn't
That's
even barely
crazy.
Drink it. But he
These
liked
are people
it.
With too much time
yeah,
on their hands.
Yeah, writers like you, yes. Those genius writers out there.
Yeah,
leave it
exactly
up to Hunter
right.
T, man.
You're exactly right.
There you go.
Little quarter-inch grub worms are boring into the fruit. Oh, my goodness. Well, an old plum tree produces a lot, but it gets the it's in Ellisville, and Jim is writing to us about it today. Jim, I don't want to sound like I've said this before, but if you're going to grow plums, you're going to have bugs. Yeah. Now, that's just that does not mean you shouldn't grow the plums. It just means that you should be aware of it. And understand that you're going to have to spray them a time or two. Not every plum gets them. Not every plum environment creates the environment that's correct for that particular plum curculio that you're talking about. But because the egg is laid basically when the flower appears, you got to spray early. So there's some wonderful calendars and whatnot and times to spray. There's probably even one on the back of the fruit tree spray bottle. If you want to get into a more natural product for it, let me know, and I'll be happy to send you what I do, mamaonair@yahoo.com. But it is that if you grow plums, if you grow peaches, you're going to have bugs. So that's why we always ask you to be aware of that. It's one more step. It's another piece of that pruning thing. You prune them when they're dormant, and then they immediately go into flower, and then you immediately have to spray them. I mean, it's just a really fast, as Mark says, if you don't, you know, the time gets by pretty quickly, you know.
Bugs in the South.
I love Paula. That's so fun. I wonder if she made it to work yet. Let's see now. Okay, y'all, that's a different conversation. That's not mine. Okay, there's Captain Morgan. Thank you. We now have an entire Captain Morgan's pirate boat being dragged along through some parade somewhere. Someone has sent us a picture. It is delightful. This is in Oxford.
Speaking of the Caribbean, look, Mama.
Oh, look. Baby bananas. You got them.
Yeah. They're little.
Yeah.
You know.
Are they supposed to be? What variety is it?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Because there are some that are that small.
It's the variety Cindy, because that's who gave them to me.
That's why plants have 17 different names.
They're so I love them. I when I was cleaning up the other day, I said, I'm going to hang on to these.
Are they tasty?
I haven't tried one. They have.
Oh.
they're small enough. They still have seeds, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was proud of that.
Now, is that grown in your yard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Is that as big as you're going to get in this climate generally? Because we've talked about that.
Generally, yes.
Very stunted. You're not going to get some big Chiquita banana. Generally.
No.
Okay.
No.
Not, probably not. It's Musa Bajou that is the one that is the hardiest plant.
Yes.
And it does have a pretty good reputation for making fruit some years. But it takes 18 months for the stalk being alive for the flowers and fruit to happen. So it's real iffy in zone 8.
If we hadn't had that polar plunge last week, they'd be a little bit closer.
Speaking of polar plunges, talking about pruning and carrying on this morning, Mark Patrick is here with me. I'm Garden Mama. Lance is taking care of everything, and Hawk's running the show. We'll be right back.
Mama gave her a big old glass and sent her right back here to me. Thank God for good directions and turnip grains.
State Treasurer David McRae has returned more unclaimed money and delivered more college and career savings to Mississippians than ever before. He's done it by making the state's education savings programs more flexible, benefiting students and teachers at virtually all schools, private or public, vocational or technical. He's making college and career savings and getting unclaimed money easier than ever. Don't let another day go by without claiming your cash or jumpstarting a career. Treasury.ms.gov.
Pine Grove Behavioral Health and Addiction Services, located in Hattiesburg, is one of the nation's most comprehensive treatment campuses. Pine Grove provides the highest quality mental health care and addiction treatment for children, adolescents, and adults. Pine Grove offers many levels of care, including day and evening addiction treatment programs for working professionals. For more info, please call 1-888-574-HOPE and visit pinegrovetreatment.com.
If you're feeling anxious,
I can see by your grin that you're trembling within. It's all
Well, I see that we've now moved into holiday mode entirely.
Hey, we have to. It's Lethal Weapon Christmas movie time, you know?
So, you know, I had just enough time for a wardrobe change.
That's right. I like it.
You like it?
I'm not capable, but I like it. I appreciate it in you.
The funny thing is that the shirt has green in it, and our, you know, so
I was going to say there's a little bit of loss there.
Fun stuff whenever.
That's fun.
I couldn't help myself.
Well, it's wonderful. If you haven't figured out that we're at supertalk.tv, Mark has shifted into the beginning of a Christmas outfit, and it's blue because it's green, but that's another whole story. Anyway,
yeah, it is blue because it's green.
So I want to talk. Speaking of green, that reminds me that I need to talk a little bit about emerald ash borer. I never like to criticize the folks that I work with, and so I won't, because it's an entirely happens all the time, but when the headline says dangerous tree insect may invade Mississippi, you know, it's like, well, give me more information, tell me some more stuff. So of course I have to go and look. I'm guessing they're talking about the emerald ash borer, because our forester Russell Bozeman has been talking so much about it. Now, in case you want to think that that's some, you know, he's obviously way up high above all of us. He knows a whole lot more about forests and trees than I can ever hope to do. But I will tell you that he and I are both on the same page when it comes to this. Watch out for this sucker, because he will, they, I should say, it's a whole population of them. If you had a chance last week to take a look at the two-spot leafhopper that I was showing, it's the same basic size and shape of an insect, but that's the adult. And if you look out at your ash trees, because we have a lot of ash trees, more than you might think, particularly in mixed forest settings, if you see the sign that the adults have emerged, which is a D-shaped hole, okay, it's not just a traditional borer hole with the sand coming out the bottom of it, it's the whole thing. Y'all are driving me crazy. Anyway, if you see that, call the forestry department. Yes. Call and let them know, because that's the sign. It's in every state on the east side of the Mississippi except for us and Florida. And I have a feeling that that's really, I mean, it's very soon will be a problem here. So, and thank you, Mr. Bozeman, for letting us know, Forrester Bozeman. He's by the way, he's one of those people that goes camping for fun.
Right.
Okay, it's not that he doesn't just live his work. This is actually who he is. He comes from the area of Raymond, and he has a whole life invested, obviously, in trees and forestry. And we're just, I think, very fortunate that he came to work for the state, because he's good.
Yeah, don't you feel like it's probably just a matter of that nobody's found them yet?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We have fewer ash trees than some other states, and we haven't noticed it. That's why I'm making sure to talk about the D-shaped hole. We see holes in our trees all the time. But if the bark comes off, you'll see that it's a real S-shaped pattern that they chew under the bark. That's the larvae. But the adults then emerge through D-shaped holes.
Mississippi State published something on Facebook, I think, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw it last night.
That's why I'm rocking through the headlines.
And so look it up. Those of you who value your trees, and
pay attention.
Be aware.
It's another one of those cases for walking your property. Even if you can't do it, if it's big enough property that you can't go every day, go every week. Take a look, see for the changes. You'll miss so many things that are fun, too, if you don't go look. But this is one of those things we have to keep a close eye on. I know I stood on my soapbox about the southern pine beetle for years and years and years. That's still a problem. Still a problem. But now we pretty much know what to look for. We hadn't had any idea what to look for in terms of the emerald ash borer, and now we do. So, okay. Debbie has sent me her rum cake recipe.
Great.
I will be trying it. Trust me.
There you go.
No question.
Wonder if you could twist that and use like coconut rum.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
That would be fun.
Oh, I'm excited. Alvin asked the name of that song, Lance.
Yes, I know. I always love it when somebody does that and you throw a little.
That makes me so
there.
Happy. It's one of my favorites. It's one that Lance and I use back and forth.
Yeah, and I love it because I'm a Lethal Weapon junkie. That's at the very end. That's the out of the Lethal Weapon 2. Yeah, so if you've heard it before and you didn't know you heard it, and you're like, I know that song from somewhere, you do, definitely.
Well, and if you're a George Harrison fan like I am, you know it because his music, besides the music with his Beatles, can I say this, is actually better music?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Excuse me. I'm not supposed to say that. But it really is. It's beautiful, beautiful music, and that's... We're lucky to have all that.
I'm more of a Yoko Ono fan, but that's me, you know, so.
Well, you're kind of into performance art. I do know that. I understand
No, as a mu- yeah, as a musician.
Yeah, I understand
I'm playing. Now, George is the man.
She has, quite frankly, changed the world in her own way, but it's hard to listen to sometimes. I'm that way about some opera, too, though. And I can only hear about this much heavy metal before I go over the edge.
There you go.
So I'm kind of.
Yeah, I email you your normal daily dose of Ozzy Osbourne at, 4 in the morning, just so you can enjoy.
Right, right. Just plenty. That's enough. Let's move on. You know. I wonder why I got up at 4
Mr.
o'clock.
Crowley is.
Is that what you're listening to at 4
you guys,
o'clock in the morning?
Suddenly.
I'm getting motivated.
Suddenly, I just flashed back to about 1979 and a jukebox with that Yoko Ono single on it.
See,
that's what I'm talking about.
We were playing pinball and listening to that song.
It is in fact a moment in our culture. When she made it to the jukeboxes, when she made it into the charts, it was a big deal. Definitely. For good or for bad, it was a big deal either way.
That was popular culture.
Sure it was. There's so much to be said about her, and we'll just leave her alone. I think she didn't turn 90. Did she turn 90? She turned pretty old recently, and that's delightful. I'm glad that happened. Her son and John's other son are making music together now, too, so that's an interesting thing. All right, I'm going to throw one on the table for you guys, and I don't think you're going to like it. I don't think either one of you are going to like it.
Oh, gosh. Hold on, Lance. Here she goes.
Impossible Burgers or something else?
Well, like you mean like another style Impossible Burger?
Yeah.
We used to sell them a lot when I bartended briefly for a few years, and People really liked them if you prepare them right. Now, if you know how to get them tough on the outside, because they'll, as soon as you bite into one of those things, if they're not cooked exactly,
that's right,
they'll just
like
blow
mush.
Up on you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like a mamwich all of a sudden. But but yeah, they actually are pretty good if you get the right ones.
Well, and I have a fondness for them too. The newest thing, though.
Oh no!
Because we got to find other stuff. You know, not everybody wants another taste, another quality, another texture, particularly. Sunflowers.
For a burger?
For vegan meat.
Okay.
We're starting with sustainable nutrient-packed, surprisingly meat-like plant protein innovation. Now, this is from Sao Paulo. They grow even more sunflowers in Brazil than we do here, and we grow a lot because sunflower oil is already part of our culture, you know.
Well, you got, hey, bada, 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 swing, bada.
There it is, see? There it is.
They have sunflower seeds.
That's right.
My
That's
first right. reaction is that sounds like it might be pretty good.
Doesn't it sound good?
It does.
I mean, I'm not dissing it at all.
No.
I do like the Impossibles. I do like those other choices, but I think this is one. What they did in the research particularly was to do a couple of different methods of putting it together, and when they found the one that everybody liked, that's the one they decided to do some more research
on. I've tried the black bean burgers. They're terrible. You know, they just don't do it for me. The
Impossible, I had a black bean I didn't like.
Yeah, you know, they just don't have the grease that the Impossible burger, and that's what makes a burger. If you want it to be a ham burger, it's got to have that grease to it.
And that's the thing. Sunflower oil has that quality.
Love sunflower oil, too.
Exactly.
Delicious taste.
I think
that's
it sounds...
Got really healthy fats in it, has lots of them too. In fact, higher levels of that monounsaturated fat that we're all looking for. And I just really love the idea that we can actually, you know, we talk about the difference between food in one place and food in another place. And it's all about where you put your priorities.
Yeah.
Okay. In Europe, people go to Europe and they come back and they go, wow, the food was just great there. Well, that's because they favor small farm growing, and locally they don't, the access to the market from where you are is intentional.
I wonder how long it's going to take that to actually make it to market, or is it in market?
I don't know. They're working on it. So it's an advantage, though, to have
that'd be a fun
taste non-genetic test. Well, see, they'll have the whole market in Europe immediately, because one of the reasons the other products don't get there is because they have GMO in them.
Right.
They have genetically modified ingredients, and sunflower does not. So that's one of the things that they're looking at, this particular way of making and I don't want to call it fake meat. I want to call it sunflower protein, okay? That's how I feel about it, but that's just me. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
We're
going to see them, you know.
Protein burgers, right? You know, because you're getting protein.
Exactly.
It's not meat. But
you can look at the label to see what the source is, you know.
Sunflower. Yeah, that's easy enough.
I noticed that today you brought us, among other things, some pictures of amaryllis, Mark. And I want to tell people, you talk about a great gift. You're going to visit somebody. They've invited you over for Thanksgiving dinner. They don't want you to bring any food. They'll tell you if they do, but more than likely, they just assume you didn't. They would just assume you brought them a beautiful amaryllis starting to grow. You know, you go buy the box kit and put it together for them, and then they've got something to enjoy every day all the way through the holidays, and then plant in their yard. And all you had to do was say, I think you'll like this.
amaryllis,
they're so beautiful.
It's a great gift.
It's a wonderful gift.
And they just last so long.
And if there's children, you should give them a yardstick with it so they can measure how much it grows every day.
There you go.
Even grown-ups like that, but the kids will really get into it.
Yeah, you know, the amaryllis, and then, you know, you've got the whole paperwhite thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love taking an amaryllis bulb, getting it going in a pot, and then sow ryegrass seed around the outside.
Oh, isn't that pretty?
Yeah. And it's so easy. I mean... You could actually do your own do-it-yourself gifts that way.
Makes you look so smart, too.
It really does.
You know, because particularly if it's got a nice green base to it, it looks a little fresher and a little happier in the house.
You know,
that's pretty. That's really
pretty.
Yes,
yes, yes.
There's some things that happened in the world of science today that are pretty interesting. I'm kind of overwhelmed by one of these things, though. I don't know anything about how creatures form skeletons, but I have to tell you, this beautiful picture of a shell really got me going. 540 million years old. For starters, I can't even wrap my head around that. But what Virginia Tech has been figuring out, we used to, the creatures used to make skeletons in one way or another, okay? And now they have discovered that the reason that this shell looks so different is because it's an entirely different, a third way that we didn't know about. Right. How amazing is that? People have been studying this stuff forever. You would think that we would know these things, and yet we don't. Among the many Cambrian-era creatures, this one stood out, these Saltarias, because they're small cone-shaped organisms, and it's a different sort of approach. It's not a distinctive fossil. It doesn't look like anything else. And as you might imagine, paleontologists went into a fit when they found it to say, how can this not be one or the other? It's a third way, and that's almost unheard of. This particular double construction at the same time is not what creatures do. Now, if you look at evolution, you would have to say, well, it must not have worked that well, or everything would do it by now that way. On the other hand, for those of us who are always looking for the reason things exist, and I certainly know that we are all friends who do that, one of the reasons this exists is to teach us that there's always something else to learn. There's another thing out there. You thought you knew, you didn't.
You didn't. You know?
Got to keep your mind open.
You got to keep learning. Well, you know, the other scientific thing that's been happening, and luckily I'm blessed with plenty of friends that live far, much farther north than us, is the Aurora Borealis.
Woo! Man. Spectacular.
You know, I can remember as a child seeing it when I was in Missouri, and it was much more visible. Mm-hmm. Plenty of people mm-hmm. saw it here in Mississippi.
Isn't that something?
They
were trying to explain on a feature that I saw why it has become that way. And it was just a bunch of gobbledygook, but it basically comes down to when something changes, it changes, and nothing ever stays the same.
Right,
and
yeah.
So that's the thing.
And all the amazing photos I've seen. It's
beautiful,
just,
beautiful. People, we're not all necessarily professional photographers, but a lot of people did cue you that you would see it better through your camera lens.
Yeah, well, I think so those days there were a lot of amateur mm-hmm. photographers mm-hmm. that became pretty professional because people were going.
Yeah. And they were taking pictures at every angle.
Every angle.
My friend up in Massachusetts had pink and blue and red all in one shot in her backyard, you know.
It's
hard not to imagine that something good has happened at that point.
And then, you know, you add meteor showers to that and super moons to that. And
so pretty.
November's just, it's been a...
We do not pay enough attention.
Fenful.
You know, we just don't pay enough attention.
We don't.
How did I say that? Oh, I said... We don't pay enough attention.
Yeah,
bing,
and then all of a sudden,
better pay attention.
What did you just say? Yeah, what was that?
Today, my friends, we're going to talk about this in our last little moments this morning because we are having a silly good time. It is not only clean out your refrigerator day today, it is eat Raisin Bran day. So I'm telling you, you can clean a lot of things today, and we're going to help you with that here on the Garden Mama Show. We'll be right back.
Τα φιπαριά, κουασί σατζί, τη βαμνέρα δικό σαν τα μεζό, πινέ τη ρότα τη πράγα βεκτονέ.
Hey there, homeowners! Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Propane uses for residential include cooking, heating, gas logs, outdoor products, water heaters, landscaping, and manufactured housing. Propane is a trusted, reliable source of energy that is used year-round by more than 60 million Americans. Visit propane.com to learn more. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's propane.com.
Southbound train, hey, hey, hey.
about Darius Rucker, you know?
He's one of my faves.
Gotta love that.
Well,
gotta
and he also is that. A big fan of the Super 70s t-shirts that I like, you know? So
yes.
He's got some good ones himself. So he's not like a sponsor, but, you know, they're good. I've got, like, the Nakatomi Plaza Christmas party and the...
Of course you do.
And the All Valley Karate Tournament. I'm waiting for... Christmas, so I can get my sexual chocolate and Randy Watson World Tour. That's the next one. So.
We need pictures.
Oh yeah, I've got them, buddy. Trust me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna. I need to drop this real quick before we get an email.
Uh oh.
Issaquena County.
That's my county.
The first detection of the emerald ash.
There we go.
Lore.
There we go.
That
See?
Was published within the last 24 hours okay. by a local news station.
Well, what is it going to infect over there?
Ash. It's
ash.
Not as big. It's not a bigger problem in the Asian ash trees that come, but green ash and black ash and I think it's white ash is the other one that are all native.
Okay.
So it's a problem.
So there it is.
Well, we have a request here from the
yes.
text line from the 601. We need the amazing Garden Mama here to give us the website to order your amazing coffee.
Oh, wonderful! Thank you very much, Leah. If you send an email to me, mamaonair@yahoo.com, I will shoot you back the menu for this week, and you'll get exactly what we've got. We've been getting along with that, and I'm happy to say people are liking it. So Garden Mama blend, we have a couple of other blends, of course, Spirit Mate and the DB blend are also very popular. And, yeah, we'd love to send you some. So mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thank you very much.
mamaonair@yahoo.com, and it is delicious. It's worth it.
Thank you. I got to go into this less wonderful part of our world here today, friends, just for a couple of minutes. We know that human beings don't eat everything that they try to make or that they put together, and sometimes stuff gets into the back of the refrigerator. I think Irma Bombeck was the first person who wrote about the fact that in America, the food that you're not going to eat has to go into the refrigerator first as a leftover and then can be thrown out 2 weeks later. That's how we've developed ourselves. Why we do that, I don't know, but we do. And to the point now where we have got so much incredible statistics, people have been keeping track of this stuff. Most families, about 100 pounds a person of food gets wasted out of the refrigerator. This is not other wow. food. This is out of the refrigerator every year. 4 items a week from each person in America. That's a terrible, terrible thing to think about. I don't know how to fix it, but I do know that the more people who think about it and who work on it, gotta love those leftovers, but you also have to understand what you actually are gonna eat and whether or not you're gonna, you know, if I get the rum cake, for example, I'm not going to eat the whole thing. I'm probably going to freeze half of it. Okay, so maybe you need to do that with a few things. But it's a problem, as so much that we have a day for it. Clean out your refrigerator day. Amazing.
It's a huge problem.
It is a problem.
It is a huge problem. I think, you know, people are less and less aware. You know, growing up as a child, you were taught to eat everything on your plate because somebody didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Children are starving somewhere.
You know, and yeah. over the years, people have just gotten super wasteful. You know?
Well, we all rebel against things, and the fact that we were brought up with that consciousness is in some ways the reason why some people don't finish every plate at all.
Right.
They consider it rude not to leave something on the plate. I don't know. It's just funny how humans do that. We're gonna thank Zach in Oxford for his semi-kind remark this morning. Appreciate you like that. I'm having a feeling he must be another one of your listeners, Lance. That's pretty fun. Anyway, today is Raisin Bran Day.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how to tell y'all this, but there's so many... people argue about everything. Let's just start with that. Since the beginning of time, people have argued about everything. But when Skinner came out and made Raisin Bran their product, which was basically bran flakes and raisins, the other folks who made bran flakes and could get hold of raisins said, well, how come you get to have that name and no one else can have it? So they went to court, and in 1944, the court ruled, Raisin Bran's pretty generic, you know. So now we have Kellogg's Raisin Bran, we have Post Raisin Bran, we have Skinner Raisin Bran, we have, you know, Mama's Nature Raisin Bran, all those different ones. But it was that big a deal. They knew there was that much of a market that they were willing to go to court over it. people talk about going to court over things all the time, but really, people don't go to court that much. They might issue a strongly worded letter. You know, they might, Kellogg's might ask you not to do that. But when it gets big enough that it means a bunch of money, it's like the, I think about the Jerry Seinfeld, Amy Schumer, excuse me, movie about the Pop-Tarts, which is so funny because that was the argument. This is an argument at a very high level.
Yes.
And so for Skinner Raisin Brand to have lost out must have really bothered them. But it becomes a descriptive term. And that's how words change. It no longer had to be capital R, capital B either. When you write it in a sentence, it's now Raisin Brand.
Food court.
Two little words. So.
We have municipal court.
See?
We have circuit court.
We have food court. We have food court. We absolutely do. Isn't that fun, though?
Yeah, and I also saw, you know, your cheesy poofs are about to not be orange anymore.
Well, things are changing, and in some of these cases, it will be for the better.
Yes.
We all understand that back when they invented, when people began using beets as sugar, beets as sweetener, beets as color in World War II because they couldn't get to regular sugar, okay? That's when the red velvet cake really hit its heyday because it was very red. You know, now we use food color pretty much, but it came from beets. And we're going to go back to some of that, which I think is not only good for the beet growers, but it's probably better and more digestible, you know, for your Fruity Loops or whatever they are to be colors that are not unreadable.
That's always been
my thing. You know, if I can't pronounce it, I'm not sure whether I want to eat it. So
I shouldn't say I'm kind of. I'm very excited to sit back quietly and watch the social reaction to these changes. I think it's going to be quite interesting.
Garden Mama, you're not one of those that does the, I don't know how to spell it, but it sure eats good.
There are some of those.
You like to know how I spell it.
There are some of those. Okay. I do like to know, though. You know, I'm a pain that way. It's terrible. Now we're going to have alligator recipes, but we'll save those for.
That's my buddy year. Zach. We share the same birthday, exactly. You know, so he's a good Oxford boy. They don't make him as good as Zach now.
Well, and Leos are very singular individuals.
We are. Birds of a feather flock together.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely do. One of the things that I'm looking forward to this week is that it's not going to be too cold to go out and plant some stuff and do some stuff. If you're shrubbing and treeing and carrying on, putting in perennials, this is a great time to do it. We have gotten a big break in the garden world that we didn't go from 25 degrees for a high to 35. You know, it is a big swing. I recognize that. But the good news is we've got lots of gardening to do and lots of good weather to do it. So I think those
perfect are, weather for it.
I think that's really the best part about it. Not to mention putting up all your Christmas decorations and Thanksgiving turkeys and
you know,
all of those things. Yes, there are inflatable Thanksgiving turkeys. Thank you very much.
There are. We have a neighbor that has one. An inflatable Thanksgiving turkey.
I mean, they're fancy. They're fancy.
I know. I tried to find a turkey jacket, but those are hard to find.
They're very popular. They sell out in a heartbeat.
They sell out real quick. Yeah, it's going to be a great week or so to get out and clean up the yard, plant some winter annuals, vegetables. Get out there
and
do it.
Yes, you can cut back your anything that's brown and dead, your perennials, lantanas and whatnot. And that's okay to do. One last question. I planted spinach, but it did not come up. Is it too late to replant? No, not if you have a cloche. See ya. Thanks for being here. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Lance.
Good to see you.
Take it easy, Garden Mama.
And contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
This is professional ball player and former Mississippi State Bulldog, Jake Mangum. As someone who spends a lot of time between Mississippi and New York, I can tell you firsthand how great new things can be. That's why the new auto and life insurance discount from Farm Bureau is so great. It's a new thing from the company that's been setting roots in Mississippi for over 75 years. Visit favrates.com for great rates on home and auto insurance. Or find a local agent at msfbins.com. Farm Bureau Insurance. Go with the home team.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.